Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we're going to bring somebody on who's no stranger to this show. He's no stranger to this channel, for that matter. One of our channels out of Huntsville, especially. Jay Towne is a former U.S. attorney, also a longtime career prosecutor, and, oh, by the way, had been a JAG officer in the U.S. Marine Corps. And he's currently out in the private sector, but he's still got his hand on the lawful pulse of America. And he's on the air with us right now. Jay Towne, how you doing?
Bill, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks for making time for us.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so in your experience, I want to dive right into it. Right now, what we're hearing is the DOJ is still weighing the possibility of federal charges. And I understand there's some nuances to whether Fed could get involved in this or not with the shooting of Charlie Kirk. But we also know that Utah has got its own state law charges, which I think they can levy as early as tomorrow. Give us the lowdown, man. What are you expecting on the charging sheet?
So I think with Utah, they have, like any state with a death penalty, they can file a murder or a capital murder charge. Some states require that you actually have a capital murder charge come out of a grand jury. It doesn't matter. The guy's going to be charged with capital murder in the state of Utah, and then 60 days after the arraignment tomorrow, I understand, Phil, you're correct. They then announce that they're seeking or not seeking the death penalty, which they will seek the death penalty in this case. At least that's what Governor Cox has told us. And so people need to understand that this gives the federal government a lot more time to shore up its proofs, to shore up its evidence, right? I mean, so as long as the guy's in custody, he's been charged, and he won't be let out of custody, then, which all those things are true, then the feds can take their time. They can take a couple of months. They're still, like, they just announced DNA was found on the towel and the screwdriver that belonged to Tyson Robinson, and that the firearm was wrapped in that towel and the screwdriver next to it. That's incredible evidence. There's going to be more evidence. They're scrubbing social media and chats into, DMs inside of gaming apps and things like that. They're going to interview a couple hundred people, find out what they knew after or before. I mean, that's all super valuable information to the state of Utah. They probably don't have the resources, Phil, to do all that.
Yeah.
So the feds are going to go ahead and they're going to finish their investigation, and then they're going to talk to General Bondi and say, hey, here's the evidence. Here's what we can prove. The interesting thing is that, for just so folks know, for a death penalty case, it's an aggravated murder case. It's even worse than a normal murder, if you can wrap your mind around such a thing, because all murders are awful. You kill a child under the age of 12, or two or more people, or a law enforcement officer. In this case, there's really two aggravating factors the feds can charge: that there was substantial planning and premeditation.
Okay.
There was. He drove 200 miles each direction to commit the murders and wrote a bunch of stuff on the anti-fascist, very leftist-leaning messages on the rounds, spent and unspent rounds. Clearly substantially planned. And then a grave risk of death to others. Now, I want folks to understand this. When you fire to specifically kill somebody, but you fire into a crowd of people, you put all those other people into a grave risk. Now, he wanted to kill Charlie Kirk, and he did. But that bullet, it was going through a real sort of fatty part of the body. And I'm sure it barely missed somebody on the other side of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
And it could, and if he had taken more shots, more people were put in risk. So that's also another aggravating factor. And that happens to also be the aggravating factor that Utah would use as well. So this is going to move along slowly. We're not going to have a trial this year, folks. He's going to be mentally evaluated. They're going to go through. If you want to kill someone, you have to go through a lot of legal hoops. I've tried death penalty cases. I've put a couple of people on death row, in fact, and it's incredibly difficult to do. But you got to have the will to do it. Sounds like the DA and provost. And I know our Attorney General of the United States has the will to do it. It just has to take the legal amount of time that it does. So everybody has to have patience. But the feds, if they don't charge somebody soon, they're still doing their job.
Well, so let me ask you on that, with in terms of Fed charges. So, I mean, we anticipate right now aggravated murder being the lead charge on of the state side. What do you anticipate would be the federal charges if the feds do decide to go that route? I mean, I've heard hate crime. I've heard that something related to being on the internet could wind up creating the possibility of federal charges. What are your thoughts on that? Where do you think that's going?
Yeah, I think that that's correct. I mean, I think that the hate crime, committing the murder in the basis of which was political, I think that that's probably the easiest one. I mean, you know, you just have to find some sort of federal nexus to get into the capital murder realm, which is where you basically just get into aggravated murder based on maybe some sort of civil rights violation or something like that. There are federal murder charges. I don't think they're going to overcharge it. I think you're going to see, maybe Utah will have a lot of other charges, but I think the feds are just, they're either not going to charge at all, or it's just going to be one of these federal murder charges based on, like you said, Phil, they killed him. He killed him because of politics or whatever. And again, that's why the investigation is so important, to talk to all these individuals that knew the defendant, because he will have given the motive. He's not talking to law enforcement. He has not talked to law enforcement, but he did talk to his father. I'm sure he talked to his roommate, his boyfriend. I think that those people probably have a really good idea as to why he did it, and those are important factors into whether or not the feds charge. And if the feds don't charge, and oftentimes when the punishment can be no worse at the federal level than the state level, quite honestly, the feds normally don't spend any time on it. This might be one of those rare exceptions where they do.
Well, I think the level of notoriety is going to, at the very least, bring a federal investigation they could turn over to the state. So let me ask you this. There's also the possibility of co-conspirators. Like for instance, there are any number of people in his online chat rooms we're hearing, you know, unsubstantiated stories that they may well have known in advance. They colluded together on how it would work. What could you do? When would you do it? Charlie Kirk's coming. Aren't you going to do something? If these, what would you take in your thoughts to get to a point of bringing in co-conspirators?
Yeah, you would have to have them actually not encouraging him, not telling him, you know, well, here's how I would do it, but they have to actually conspire to help him and take a step to do it, like send him a link to, where to buy this black shirt with a flag and an eagle on it, right? Whatever it is to make him blend in, that would be how you would charge a co-conspirator, but they would have to do more than just encourage him. It would have to actually be help, and that help had to have actually manifested itself. But it's not like that's impossible. I mean, it sure seems like a lot of people were rooting him on, but we'll have to wait for the investigation to play out. Nobody likes the patience that it takes to find Charlie. People were mad at the FBI that it took until they announced 33 hours later that they had the guy. They were mad. They're like, what are you guys doing? You know, fire Cash Patel. And I'm like, you solve a murder in 33 hours then. You know? I mean, that's hard to do. There's 2,000 people there. There's no admission. There's no, you know, nothing. And, you know, you got to go through. It's painstaking. And sure enough, they got to the guy. Yes, the father turned him in. But the only reason the father turned him in is because the FBI made the tactical decision to plaster his son's face all over the internet, all over the news, all over anything that you saw, so that it was unmistakable that if that father didn't turn that son in, somebody else would have, because that kid was a recognizable face. And if the police just knocked on his door, God knows what would have happened. But it might not have been as nonviolent as what it was when the father called The Police on the Sun.
Yeah, and I agree. In fact, that's where I was going to head next. My last question for you, we got about two and a half minutes left. The level of transparency in that 33 to 36 hour period, I thought was rather remarkable. Now, granted, this was a very public crime. I mean, there are videos that were going everywhere. Some of them were heinous, but this was a very public moment. But the level of transparency that we saw from the DOJ, the FBI was like kind of bar none, in my opinion. Pictures were coming out immediately. They were putting together surveillance video. It wasn't just the online stuff. It was like their investigative file was finding this video, quickly put it out to the public. Your thoughts on the level of transparency?
It was amazing. And typically, if Comey wasn't director of the FBI, all that information would have been held back because we'll do it ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't need any help. Cash Patel, the director of the FBI, understands that the media, and even thank the media is a powerful tool. The internet is a powerful tool. And so, you know, the same internet that radicalized this guy was the same one that brought him down. And it's, I mean, why not harness that power? And that's exactly what the director did. And he should be praised for it. And he was transparent about every step the Bureau took throughout the investigation. And he's still bringing more transparency. I mean, to this morning, the guy's arrested. But hey, by the way, we found his DNA. Oh, man, that's a big nugget. You know, try to defend yourself when your DNA's on the fire weapon, or the firearm rather, right? I mean, that's tough. That makes it real easy for the prosecutors, and it's just getting easier because the Bureau's doing great work, as the Bureau does.
Jay Towne, as always, man, appreciate your insights on this, and if more comes up later on, we'll holler at you, okay?
Thanks, Phil. Have a great one.
See you. Well, that was good. I knew it would be. Let's take a break. We got to. We ran long. But we'll take that break. We'll come right back and wrap this topic up as long as y'all want to. We'll talk about it more if you want to. Text me. Call me. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.